Hey everyone, I'm Tima from Shades and Pages, and welcome to Brazenly Shady, your ticket to hot and unfiltered conversations about all things Black romance. Tap in, everybody. We're about to take y'all on a ride.
Everyone, welcome to Brazen Babe Reviews, the podcast. I'm Sharonda.
And I'm Tama.
Hi, everybody. What y'all doing? Shit, what's been crack-a-lacking?
What's going on? Besides the usual bookish drama, baby. But how's life? How y'all doing?
Life is life, and baby, like... is kicking ass and taking names. How about that?
Yeah. Because these jobs actually want you to work even from home. Like, I feel like doing all that shit.
It's so ghetto. It's like they require you to work, and it's like, what the hell is that? Like,
I don't want to work. I need a rich man because I'm tired of working.
If I had a rich man, la 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 la.
Okay. I need me a sugar daddy. Yes, I'm saying.
You don't want no sugar, child.
Well, I don't want his ass too old. I don't want worms.
Ah, what?
I don't want worms. I don't like older dudes like that. I can't do it. I mean, big up to the women that do. Like, girl, do what you gotta do, but...
Ugh. I'm gonna not comment on that one.
That means you want an older man?
I've dated older men before, so yeah.
I really shouldn't say stuff like that, because as a woman of a certain age, I probably shouldn't say shit like that anymore, but that's just how I feel. Sorry. But anyway, y'all, we are here to talk about our usual shit, some books that we read.
Tell them I'm recording.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're here to talk about some books that we read. And we're going to start off with Time to Love by Ivy Leica?
I think it's Leica. Ivy? I'm sorry. Okay. I think it's Ivy Leica. So, if we pronouncing it wrong, we apologize.
My bad.
I really think it's Ivy Leica.
Okay.
Yeah.
I follow behind Tama, so she says Leica is Leica. I take her word for it. Because I don't know how to pronounce shit. It's gap in the bottom of my motherfucking teeth. So anyway. It is what it is. I'm too old to be lying. So so we're going to start with A Time to Love. And actually, we decided to take on three books for this episode. We're being bold.
Way bold-like. But I really enjoyed this book.
I did. I thought it was cute. Now, this book is super short. It's totally like 39 pages. But... it's a really super cute short, and I think she did an amazing job with the story for the amount of pages.
It really read like a full-length novel, like a complete story. And I know y'all tired of hear me saying this, but I wish this was longer. I don't care what you say, whatever. I know y'all tired of hearing me say this. I know Sharonda rolling her eyes, whatever. I thought this.
I am not rolling my eyes. I'm just giggling because she does this all the time, y'all. It doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? She will. If we read a full-length book, Tama would be saying, I want it more. So I'm used to it.
She really did her thing in 39 pages.
Agreed.
I'm telling you, this gave you everything. Background information, you know, she broke up with a dusty ass boyfriend, you know, was on her I'm gonna be by myself tip, you know, went out and did her thing, got back together with her friend, you know, they worked it out. But kudos to you. You did a good job. So
she said kudos to you.
Constance.
You know, I thought they were cute. I thought they were a cute couple. I wasn't a fan of some of the ways that Constance moved, but I appreciated the story that the author gave us. So we have Constance and Kendrick, who were friends during college, like best friends. And even though Kendrick warned her not to fuck with the trash ass dude that she decided to be with and have a baby with, Constance did it anyway.
Because you know that's what we do. When you tell us not to do something, we go do it.
Even when dudes tell us a nigga is trash, we still just be stupid. But
you'd be like, but I could make him not trash though. Ladies, if a nigga tell you he trash, he garbage juice, just let it go. Like, he's trash. But go on.
And Kendrick did try to warn her, but Constance and her sister come from a very troubled background. They lost their parents when they were young, and then they were raised by their grandmother. And, you know, it was kind of like that childhood for them. So Constance was very much focused on she wanted a family and a family unit when she got older, which when we have that shit locked in our head on certain things that we want, I feel like sometimes it leads us down the wrong path. Sometimes we look up and get a good motherfucker, you know, but the dude she ended up with was fucking trash, and it caused some rift between her and what's his name again? Kendrick. And they ended up, you know, I think it was like 4 or 6 years past that they didn't speak, because Constance was trying to get this relationship going with her trash ass baby doll.
And Kendrick, you know, Kendrick was really in love with her, but he really didn't say anything. And he felt like he needed to distance himself from the situation because he was breaking his own heart. And when he was trying to develop a relationship with Constance, baby daddy was tripping. You understand? So he was like, you know what? I ain't want to cause no problems. I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do. So he kind of like left.
I love that Kendrick did that, because I don't think we get enough stories of men saying, you know what? Always get like these fuckboy kind of a stories, right? And I love the idea of Kendrick just saying like, you know what? I love her and she's my best friend, because he was even willing to just be around her, you know, because she made him like stepdad.
But he kind of declined the godfather because he was like, that's disrespectful. Like, I'm trying to make you my woman, and this is supposed to be my baby, and you're going to let me be godfather? Girl, fuck you. Like,
really? Like, girl, I want that position. What the fuck?
He was like, you're going to demote me? Soulja Boy voice? Me? Demote?
But I love the idea that he was just like, you know what? For my mental health, and in order for you to have this family that you keep wanting to have, I gotta step back. So I really appreciate the author did that, because I don't think we always get that from a woman's point of view, but I love that we got that from Kendrick's point of view, because he was like, yeah, I love her, but you know what? I'm gonna be that dude and just step back, let her have what she want. And yeah, if that means that we can't be friends anymore, then yeah, I'm not going to be friends with her. And I have no problem with that shit at all.
He told her that he was leaving, and she was the one that kind of had the attitude and the distance that they had towards each other, because he messaged her and was like, hey, you know, I'm leaving. And she had a little funky
attitude. She didn't respond.
She had a funky attitude. It was like, what you want me to do? Like, sit here and be on the sidelines to hug you when your baby daddy make you mad? Like, I'm supposed to control you?
Really wanted him to be the side dude. Without no benefits.
Kendrick, even though he was distant, he still checked up on her, still paid the baby's school fee. Ain't no nigga out here doing that. Period.
He was such a He was a good dude. Which I really did not appreciate when she finally decided to like fuck her baby daddy, like for real. Like, I'm tired of this shit, because you know, ladies, when we get tired, we get fucking tired, and it's fuck everybody at this point. And that's what it was for Constance. She was tired of trying to save the relationship that she now realized wasn't meant to be saved. And Kendra enters back into her life. And I didn't like how she came at him, because she was mad because he broke off their friendship. And she's like yelling and screaming at him, like, you know, how dare you not talk to me and all these years. And it's like, but my girl, you had a whole dick in your life. What did you want this man to do? Just stay on the side pining after your ass while you try to make a false ass life with your baby daddy? Like, what the fuck?
Her attitude was unbecoming. Like, you unappreciative, first of all. Like, you just... I didn't like the way she handled it.
I didn't. I thought she was very wrong for coming at him like that, because she really didn't see her side. And I'm glad her sister called her to the carpet, like, the fuck are you doing? And her sister was straight up with her, like, if you're gonna be with this man, don't play in his face.
I loved her sister.
Her sister was ghetto as hell. And I was
like, blend of sister ratchet for me. You know I love that shit, right?
I loved it. I was like, girl, get her. I said, gather her ass together, sis.
Her sister was, when I tell you her sister was gathering her, reading her filth.
That's the kind of friend we need, that's gonna let you know in your face, bitch, stop playing in this man's face, because this man is serious. If you ain't ready to be with him like that, if you ain't about that fucking life, step back.
But if we flip the mattress, mm-hmm. Kendrick did not tell Constance how he felt about her. Constance had no idea what was going on. Now, don't get me wrong, Constance did have feelings for him too.
Right.
But he kind of held back from it because she didn't know that he felt the same. So I felt like there was a communication barrier there. Both of them really did not express to each other that, hey, I have feelings for you. So for Kendrick to make the decision that he make without even expressing to Constance that he was interested in her, mm-hmm. it seemed kind of extreme. I understand Constance's attitude, mm-hmm. but I feel like you had to roll up on him like that, though. Like, you ain't had to roll up on me like that, especially when I communicated to you and you ain't answer me. Like, you could fall back a little bit. You understand?
But there was definitely miscommunication between both of them. And I trust me, I get where you're coming from. But I just also feel like Constance, she knew how Kendrick felt, because she kept saying, I knew he was in love with me. And I'm not saying that she had to push up on him. But if you kind of like knew, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I don't know. You kind of sort of knew. So it's kind of like, again, for her coming at him like that, it was foul. It was fucked up. But, you know, they pulled through.
Yes.
You know, they pulled through. They get past the little bumps. Again, I'm glad the sister was like, bitch, stop playing in that man's face. And, you know, they decided to, you know, finally
work on
make this relationship work. And I was happy with that.
In 49 pages, she had the baby daddy show up. It's like so much was packed into this book in 39 pages. And we also had a side story with her sister and Kendrick's best friend, which, right. And I, me, do not judge me. I went in the author's inbox and I asked her if there was going to be a story. She said, yes. I had to. And I asked her and she said, yes. So there's going to be a story with her twin sister. Mm-hmm. And
I'm looking forward to that. I like this. I really did enjoy the sister's personality and her attitude. Mm-hmm. I just thought she was just a very upfront and honest person. And I loved the ratchetness about her.
She was like, well, bitch, she brought she brought life and entertainment to this story, even though she brought life to this story. I loved that. I mean, Ivy, shout out to Ivy for putting all of this in a freaking 39 page book.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. You know what I'm saying? I thought she did an amazing job.
She gave us a complete story. I know I say it was a complete story. I did one more because I didn't want it to end. So, yeah, whatever. It was complete, but I still feel like it should have been more. Boop.
Okay. Like, where all that come from, though?
You always say you want more. And I mean...
Bam. You just said it was fine. You feel like
it was fine.
Story, but okay. You still wanted more?
Because I love the characters. It was fun. It was engaging. I loved the book. You understand? No? I wanted to end.
Okay. I understand. I mean, at the end of the day, for 39 pages, I think she did an amazing job.
Amazing.
I love that we got a happily ever after between Kendrick and Constance. The fuck, finally. You know? I was like, hey, Constance, what the fuck are you doing? You know? Like, that man shouldn't have worked so hard. Like, even when, you know, she was giving him like a little bit of push and pull, you know, when he was like, girl, ain't nobody got time for all this shit. Like, bitch, I've been in love with you. What you doing, you know? So at the end of the day, I thought this was a cute read. I'm not mad at it. I thought it was, you know, for 39 pages, she did a knockout job. So I enjoyed the story for what it was.
I enjoyed it too.
Mm-hmm. And this is a cute, quick little friends to lovers stories. If that's your gist, you know, if that's your judge and you like all of that, then, you know.
You know, like a reunited, and it feels so good.
So that is Time to Love by Ivy Leica. She's a new to both of us authors. And I'm looking forward to digging into some more of her work. I wasn't mad at this at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another new to me. I'm thinking it's new to you too, right? Mm-hmm. We read Someone to Call My Lover by Bree. This is my first read from this author. So
same here. Now, I'm going to start it from saying that I like the idea of the story, but I am not going to lie. I thought the story was ridiculous from beginning to ending. I thought the characters were ridiculous. I understood Kimberly's point of view of her, you know, having a certain lifestyle back in the day and trying to... I guess kind of like clean up that lifestyle, and you know, she wanted to be, she wanted to be Susie Homemaker. You know what I mean?
Basically,
but what I did not like,
college.
Huh?
I say basically, Kimmy was a hot girl in college, and she wanted, and she wanted to slow down and start a family. You know, since she moved back to her college hometown, her college town, and she got this new job, she wanted to move back. And, you know, she wanted to slow down from the fast life she had in college. And, you know, her friend tried to set her up on some dates. Listen, some of the dates were hilarious to me.
They were hilarious, but they were fucking ridiculous.
They were over the top hilarious.
So her friend, throughout this story, we have her friend who keeps setting her up on these ridiculous ass, terrible ass dates with these terrible ass men. And it was just ridiculous. For me, yes, there were some hilarious parts, but like for me, like the meat and bones of the story was just ridiculous. Like it was just all ridiculous. And it kind of like got exhausting to keep hearing her say about herself. Like she was just like this.
Yeah. You know,
like this big time whore in college. And it's like, it's fucking college. Like we all
We all did some questionable shit. Things in college. We all was college, having fun in college.
Our younger days, we all did some whole shit. You know what I'm saying? We all did some questionable shit. But it did get a little bit exhausting.
She was so hard on herself. She felt she did not deserve a good mind because of her past, and that got old fast. Like, girl, get over it. We all did some whole shit when we was younger.
Yeah, what?
Talk it up as experience. Write it in a journal. Talk to your friends in the group chat and move the fudge on. Like,
a therapist and just let it go. I think she and you know,
she
and
then she was a critic. She was hard on her.
She really was.
Critic.
Yeah, she really was her biggest critic. Like, she was super hard on herself. And I'm like, you're this successful as woman now, you know, and you keep harping on a past that really should not even matter, because at the end of the day, even if you did, like, bitch, we all, a lot of motherfuckers did it. Even if you want to claim that you was prudish and you just weren't like that, okay, fine, whatever, that was your choice. But, you know, listen, again, like Tamer said, chuck that shit up as experience, let it go, move on. Bitch, get a therapist and move on, you know? And it just, I think I probably would have enjoyed the dating parts more if we didn't get so much of Kimmy just down on herself. So she runs into Chevy, who was a dude she actually, he tutored her when she was in college. Yeah. And she's always had a crush on Chevy. And, you know, they meet up again. They actually end up being neighbors and stuff. And she likes him. But again, she's so hard on herself about her being a whore, basically being a hoe, you know, hot girl in college. And, you know, and because Chevy knew about how she was in college, it was like, well, he's not going to be with me. He doesn't want to be serious with me because he know about my past. And I was like, girl.
Yeah. And I feel like Chevy paid for it. Like, Chevy just wanted to be in a relationship with her and get to know her. He paid for it because he knew about her past. It's like she was so hard on herself, and she was just thinking that Chevy wasn't going to want to be with her. And because of her past, and I'm sitting there like, girl, don't you know that hoe was life? I feel like men.
I mean, I feel like men get away. What you're about to say, men do get away with shit like that. And it's a
double standard. It's a double standard. Oh, but at the end of the day, I don't think that a man is going to sit there and say, oh, well, I know how she was in college. I mean, I would hope not. Because niggas is wild. You know? I would hope not.
It depends on the dudes, because trust me, there's a lot of dudes out here that will turn around and try to make a woman feel bad because she where she was kind of, she was loose in her fucking past. And men will make you feel, there were some men out here that will try to make you feel bad about that.
You have a certain amount of sexual partners, but I wanted her, see, because I feel like the story would have resonated more with me if she had owned her past and owned her sexuality and say, you know what, yes, I experienced this when I was in college, but now I want to settle down and I want to have a family. Take the shit that you learn in college from fucking all them niggas and put on your head. It is what it is. Like,
I mean, you know, it was a lot of things in this book that, you know, I kind of feel like plays heavily on, you know, it's all, especially with Black people, is all that. It's always that respectability thing that you have to be a certain way. And I feel like in this story, it was a lot of play on, you know, the ghetto-ness and ratchetness of women.
Of Black
female women characters in the book were talking ghetto, you know, or whatever. You know, they were talking in AAVE. You know, they were walking around cussing and with the hands swinging and stuff. But it was like they also kind of like looked down on that. And I didn't like that. Because to me, it's like, if you have a problem with it, then continue to speak however
the queen's
Black people are supposed to speak.
But I just English. Because I'm a sick nigga.
Like, I don't like when people do that and say, well, she talks ghetto, but then I see you, or you talk about how a way a certain woman is supposed to be. If you feel like women are supposed to be a certain way, then I don't want to see you dancing to Megan Thee Stallion's thought shit. That's why
I'm ass up, because everybody know that's a Negro spiritual. Hello.
Okay. I don't want you talking down about women dressing a certain way and talking a certain way and dancing a certain way, but I see your ass over there fucking singing thought shit. Okay.
Big old Let's freak. Not do that. Big booty, that's my shit. Big old freak. You know?
That's a thick ass girl right there. I said, girl, come on, Megan.
I think I saw where the author was trying to go with this, but she didn't put it off me.
If you're trying to give us a lesson on respect, you know, respectability within the Black community and how, you know, certain, you know, the Black community looks down on certain women and men that may, you know, who they deem, you know, ghetto, or you act a certain way and stuff. If that's what she was trying to do, it really didn't hit, because I felt like, as a reader, I felt like it was like she was kind of like coming down.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think she wanted to, I think her theme or what she was trying to convey was, okay, even though you had a past, you still deserve a future. You know, with a family, even though you had a hot girl past, right. you still deserve a family, you still deserve a good man. But I think the way that she did it, I think it would have landed, like you said, if she owned her sexuality and she owned her past. But she was beating herself down so much, it was like, God dang, why is she doing this? And I feel like that's what turned me off the most from this, because I was like, let her own that shit. You understand what I'm saying? Let her own her past. Let her own her decisions. But even though she had a past, and even though she had a promiscuous past, mm-hmm. she's still a good man, and she still deserves, you know, a family. But right. you didn't kind of, it didn't work out, because she was just so hard on herself. And then you sleeping with Chevy on the side, but you still going on these dates with these niggas. And I'm like, girl, that's so contradictory. Chevy, just let me handle your need. Girl, what now? It's like so contradictory, because I was like, girl, what is you doing? Because you don't sleep anymore, but you're sleeping with this man, but you're still going on these dates with these other men. It's like, what is you doing?
And it's like she kept sleeping with him, but she still kept saying to herself, like, oh, well, he doesn't want to be in a relationship with me. I mean, but it's like you never actually opened up to him. And then she would say things like, oh, you know, I used to be something to the effect, like, you know how my past was, you know, I was, you know, loose when we were in college. And it's like he never held that against her. And I think, you know, when we got towards the end of the story, she actually found a way not to be with him. She kind of like blamed. She took something that he said out of context. And it was like she was just doing way too much, because she was just way too hard on herself.
I don't really think she took it out of context.
You don't think so?
But no, because remember, they went to, was it that they went to the homecoming and she saw her ex? Her ex kind of like grabbed her to make it seem like they was kissing or they was doing something sexually. Chevy walked in on that and he was like, oh, you can't turn a hoe into the housewife. So he did not listen to her. He did not really listen to her. And then he threw her past in her face. He was wrong for that.
He was definitely wrong for that. That was bullshit.
He was in a relationship and he did not give her a chance to explain
the situation
that he caught her in with her ex-boyfriend. And he said, oh, you can't, you know, and he basically, you know, went back to her past, kind of like confirming what she was saying in the first place.
But I just felt like, what? My thing is, this is why I say the story was ridiculous, because you have him all throughout this book telling her, your past don't matter, your past don't matter, your past don't matter.
But and then say to your hoe.
You turn around and call the lady a hoe. It was crazy. I was so confused. This is why I said the story made no sense to me. It was just, it bordered on ridiculous, especially with them dates. I was just like, I don't mind adding
going with the
date.
It felt over the top. I see where she was going with the dates, but it was very over for me. It was over the top ridiculous.
That's what it was. It was over the top ridiculous. That's what it was.
I'm gonna have to agree with you.
Okay. I think this was a cute. I think this could have been a cute. This isn't exactly friends to lover. This is more like, what do they call it when they haven't seen each other in a long time? What do you say that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's always these different damn tropes in romance. But, you know, I think the story had potential, just didn't land the way I wanted it to land. And that's just me, you know, as a reader saying that, you know, won't discourage me from reading any more of her books. But I just thought this one was ridiculous.
I'm going to definitely read another book from her, but this, I feel like I knew where she was trying to go, but she didn't land it. Like you said, it just didn't fall through.
Yeah. I was just like, what is this?
I don't know, some of the dates was a little side-eye-ish. I was like, ooh, child.
Some dates was ridiculous as fuck. First, the most ridiculous one was the movie date. I was like, ain't no fucking way, but okay.
But the one, not the one who was stink, remember the stink one?
That was the movie date.
Ooh, it was just smell like booty hole. Just,
I'm not even gonna like, because some men be out here smelling like straight shit, and it's just like, okay. But yeah. You just grown and don't know how to wash your ass, but okay. I mean,
okay. Wow. Yeah,
but all these stories rushing around of people not washing their ass, I just I have lost faith in the human race. I really have, because y'all some nasty MFs. Stop sharing that shit online too.
Oh, but yes, I ain't even gonna go there, because some of y'all ain't even bathing, and that ain't even talking about. I ain't had a bath in months.
You not washing your balls? How you not washing your booty hole? How you not washing the cooch? You just walking around with a funky cooch?
And you itching too, and I know you itching.
Oh, I know you itching. How you smelling that? Because at a certain point, you smell. I don't care how much perfume, it's a fucking lie. You spray person, that shit just stinks worse.
Yes, that's a bit musty.
Out here fucking with a stink coochie? Oh my God. Anyway, so yeah, I wasn't a fan of this book. It was very much exhausting to keep reading about Kimmy's past. But yeah, I think that it was just too much, you know?
So yeah.
All right, so now we move on to our last book, which is a very familiar author to the both of us. And we're going to talk about Just a Friend by Miss Ashley Nicole. And
you know what? I'm a big Ashley Nicole fan. And so I was really excited to read this book, but I'm going to be honest and say this book disappointed me so much.
I agree.
And don't get me wrong. I loved, I feel like I loved the fact that they had the friendship dynamics between Harlow and, you know, the country.
All the guys.
And the friendship
dynamics. What's with y'all with these names of these books now? But go
country
ahead.
Tuck and Trey. And I love the aspect and Ghost. I love the aspect of the friendship aspect of the book with Harlow and the guys. And I'm gonna say, yeah, that's about it. Because this book was, that's about it. Because it had some funny moments, because I truly believe that Ashley Nicole is one of the authors out there who writes true rom-coms. I mean, you are hollering and busting out laughing when you are reading her books. She is truly a rom-com author. The jokes in this one felt really forced, and it was cringy. I did not, especially the way the guys were talking to Harlow, talking about coochies and I don't do this and your coochie. It was like, it came off so cringeworthy. I was like, what is this? I cringed reading some parts of this book.
This book, I'm not gonna lie, those dudes were straight fuckboys. They were straight misogynists. They were terrible ass dudes. And I don't know how Harlow ended up with any of them. I agree with Tama 100%. I thought the friendship dynamics of Harlow being in this friendship with four, was it five or four of them? Four?
I think it was Ghost, Tuck, Trey, yeah, and Country.
Ghost, yeah, Tuck, so
Trey and Country.
Yeah, so I like the, I love the friendship dynamics of this woman being in a relationship with these dudes, with these four dudes. But the way they talked at her, the way they talked to her sometimes, it was just very, it bordered on disrespectful, okay?
Not only the way they talked to her, the way they talked about women was crazy. Like,
and this just plays into that thing of women. There are women out there that are very misogynistic, and I think Harlow had very misogynist ways about her because she never countered them when they would say disrespectful shit about women. Like, they were talking about basically like fucking women. And like, it was one of them in a group, they were having a conversation and he was saying how he didn't want to wife this girl.
Let him put it in the closet on the first time. And yeah, I'm like, no, girl, you slept with her on the first day too. So you are home really and truly too.
That was so fucked
up. So I'm going to agree with you when you say she had some misogynistic characteristics, especially how she handled her co-worker who slept with Tuck. I was like, because, you ain't even that.
Because let me tell you something, dudes will tell their male friends and their women friends, like, don't fuck with him, he fucked up. If you knew your dudes are like that, why would you not tell your co-worker, like, girl, don't fuck with him? Like, he's a fuckboy. Like, even if you and your co-worker ain't cool like that, I would still would have just said it as just a warning. Now, what she do after that warning, that's her business. Because we grown, okay?
See, now, I'm going to have to disagree with that. Because I don't feel that she need to tell her co-worker that her friend is a fuckboy. Yeah. After her friend slept with him and she approached her, she should have just been like, you know what? That's between y'all. I ain't into that.
Which she did. Which she did. But her thoughts.
But it's the way that she did it, though.
Yeah, I was so mad at that. Was like, how's she going to come at me about my friend? But you know your friend fucked up. And then you sit up there and you giggle with the rest of them while they sit up. While he sits up there and basically call that woman a hoe. And then going to say that she had to up her, like, she had to up her game.
Her standards.
If she wanted to be with him. Like, nigga, you a hoe too.
Yeah. This book, this was not my favorite Ashley Nicole's book at all. I cringed so much reading this book. And the thing about it is that it felt drawn out too. Like, even though I did feel like we got to see country, I mean Ghost and Harlow's relationship, you know, develop, and you know, they got close, like she it was drawn out. It felt like
it was unnecessarily drawn out. Like I got their reasons of not wanting to tell the guys, like, hey, they started sleeping together or whatever, because they thought that, you know, them telling the other guys in the friendship that, you know, Ghost and Harlow, they started sleeping together, you know, it would ruin the friendship, which it did for one of them. But I think it was just too much drawn out. Like, this could have been short, you know, this could have been shorter. It was just too much. And the fact that, you know, it kind of like rubbed me the wrong way that he didn't want, like, they only, like, I didn't like the idea of him not wanting to be with her out in public. Like, I thought that was just like, I
could understand that part, because they were hiding from their friends. Because remember, Ghost and Trey were friends. He already told Ghost that he was feeling Harlow, but he didn't express that to Harlow. And he was basically telling them, hey, Harlow is off limits. He didn't express that to Harlow, but you don't want to believe to Harlow.
But Ghost knew. So Ghost should have been the one to say something to Trey. Because Ghost knew how he felt.
That's why he didn't want to say anything, though, because he knew it was going to be problems regardless of what happened.
Exactly. Which I'm kind of like Cameron, because you knew it was going to be problems. And at the end of the day, him and Demi grew up together. They were like best friends before the other dudes come in. So my thing is, it's disrespectful for you to not tell me, especially if you know I'm feeling her. Why not come to me as a man and be like, you know, go, you know, Demi, I understand that you got feelings. You know, just, I ain't like it. I thought Ghost went out punkish. I mean, he defended himself at the end, but I thought it was wrong for him not to at least be man enough to go to Demi and say, like, hey, this is what's going on between me and Harlow. Because at the end of the day, Ghost knew how Demi felt about Harlow. That's all I'm saying. She didn't know, but he knew. And I'm on Demi's side, because I was like, nigga, you know how I felt, and you fucking her, and you didn't say anything to me. Yeah, I'm going to try to beat your ass. Yes, I'm going to fuck you up. Especially after we all had the conversation of nobody touches her, and you touched her. No.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that piece. He should have said something.
That's all I'm saying.
He should have said something. Demi handled it so friggin' bitch ass, though. Like,
he handled it really, really wrong. I thought at the end of the day, like, you fucked up a friendship between two people, you know, your childhood friend and Harlow. And I get I'm giving him the credit of being hurt and disrespected. I'm giving him that credit. But the way he acted towards them, you know, especially once he started calling Harlow out her name, I was like, yo.
Yeah, he was cutthroat.
He was cutting up. I was like, my guy, you are.
Cutthroat, though. He was so cutthroat.
And I'm like, you know, I will be on Ghost side. Like, I understand you upset, but you ain't going to keep, you know, being disrespectful. Especially, like, you know, they got to know her mother. And then even Harlow's mother went to go talk to him. He slammed the door.
I was like, what is going on with this dude? It's just the way that he handled it just was like,
what? It was very childish.
And it was very like, childish. And I was sitting there like, why? This is like very over the top. Like, why would he? It just doesn't make any sense for him to handle it like that when he didn't even tell Harlow how he felt. So it's like, why are you mind like this?
You know, I don't remember offhand, but did Ghost even tell her that Demi had feelings for you?
Ghost told her. Okay. Ghost did tell her, because he said he knew it was going to be some problems, because he told Demi basically came to Ghost and was like, I think I found my wife, or I think I found the person I want to be with. And Demi was like, I mean, and Ghost was like, I don't even really think she like you like that. I really think she just like you on some friendship thing. You understand what I'm saying? And I feel like at the end of the day, Demi was going to be mad anyway.
Either way.
Did not make any sense because he didn't even express the hollow house. So why are you getting busted up like this? You get busted up like this and you ain't even tell the girl how you
feel. That's what I was going to say. Like, you can't expect every... I mean, like, I get him being upset at Ghost, but for him to be that pissed off at Harlow when you didn't even tell her how you felt, it kind of didn't make any sense. I was just like, well, you didn't even tell her how you felt. So, why are you this mad at her? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand being the fuck mad at Ghost because, again, Ghost knew. But, you know,
Ghost should have said something. Ghost was wrong in that aspect.
That's all I'm saying is he should have, because at the end of the day, that, you know, a friendship is lost. But, again, him and Demi grew up together. So, it's like, that's really fucked up. And I think that's why Demi was so pissed off.
But it's like, it don't make no sense for Demi to be like this. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I also expected Country and Tuck to say a little more about them having their relationship in secret. They really didn't say anything. It was like,
it's like they were mad, but they were just like, well, okay. And I was just like, and then I really feel like, during the fight scene between Demi and Ghost, like, they really didn't do too much to be like, you know, what's going on? You know, like, we need to all sit down and talk about this. And I really feel some type of way about them. Now, I could understand Ghost and Harlow completely cutting off their friendship with Demi, but I was like, so why is Country and the other dude cutting off the relationship?
Well, that's because Demi didn't want to have nothing to say to them. Demi didn't want to talk to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Demi cut off everybody. He even slammed the
door in her mama's face. He was like, bye. It's not funny, but I was like, yo, he is pissed. But, you know, I mean, again, for me, I like the friendship element of this book. And I like the idea. I like the element of, okay, this woman is friends with four guys and she ends up having a romantic relationship that grows into something more with one of them. I like that kind of idea of the story. But I didn't like these dudes. They were trash ass dudes. I'm sorry. They were trash ass fuck boys. Very misogynist. Their views on women were fucking terrible. So I don't know. And then it's just like a lot of things really didn't connect the dots for me in this story. So I was just like, yeah.
And I felt like it was rushed too, because
I think the story was overdone, but it felt rushed too, right? If that can be a thing.
It was rushed. When it comes to ending, was rushed. And we did not get Tuck and Country's... I felt like it was going to be a different story for Tuck and Country. But she got a little quick at the end, and I was like, huh?
Yeah, because that ending with Country and
his baby mama being in the coma and they having the next baby, like, I was so confused.
I was so confused because I was like, where did that come from? And then find out the lady name was Crawfish, who had a little brother named Crawdad, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
The little nicknames that they gave him, but the mouth wasn't mouthing in a lot of scenes.
I mean, I get the nicknames, but child, that shit threw me for a loop. I was like, well, who is these people? But yeah, this wasn't my best story by her, but...
Not at all. I'm going to still read her stuff, but this one was not my favorite.
I mean, nothing would ever stop me from reading an author. I think sometimes you just come across stories that you don't connect with, and this just happened to be one of them. That's all. You know?
Nothing wouldn't stop me from reading the author. Shit.
You know. Won't. I mean, now, motherfucker come incorrectly, that's a different story. But you know, I mean, all stories aren't gonna connect with readers, and you know, it's as simple as that.
And true.
It's really as simple as that. It's not nothing. It's not rocket science. It's not anything hard to figure out. It's like you can read 100 books and might not like half of them, motherfuckers. You know, so it's. I mean, that shit happens. So. And it's just, you know, it just feel like this was one of the story that I think for me, it was just the characters themselves. Like, I ain't like them dudes. They were terrible ass people. So, yeah. But that's our reading for this episode. I mean, we had one book that we loved to death, you know, we really enjoyed. But, you know, and we had a couple that were just, you know,
questionable, you know.
Yeah. But for the most part, you know, it was an okay reading week for me.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I feel like the stories just was not adding up to me in the two that I really didn't resonate with. But you win some, you lose some. It is what it is.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, we get these stories. Like, I feel like we have these conversations about misogyny and, like, Black women, like, coming into their own and having different conversations about things and, you know, not dealing with fuck shit misogynist-ass people, you know, men mainly. But then, you know, we go inside these stories and I just feel like...
The jokes was not landing in this book, and I know they were supposed to be funny, but they weren't funny. They were cringy. It was like, ugh.
Like the part where he was Demi was working out with all of them, and it's like he said something to the fact of like if she didn't get up, he was going to kick her in the cooch, and he actually did one time, and I was just like, that's not. Not cute. Why is this on page? This isn't cute. Why is this?
It was a lot of like, over-explaining too, and I think that's what dragged the story out a lot because it was a lot of over-explaining everything, and I'm like, okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. This wasn't my favorite story by her either. And I love me some Ashley Nicole. I think she writes great books. Definitely. And she writes killer short stories. Like, her short stories be hitting. But this one, I wouldn't.
And she's so funny, but these jokes wasn't funny to me. I think they
didn't land, or, you know, they didn't hit the way they usually hit because of the story itself, and then that, like, the relationship between them, it was very much full with some there was some murky shit going on in that whole friendship between Harlow and the guys. So I feel like even when they were like cracking jokes on each other or trying to like land jokes on each other, it didn't feel right because of the way they were talking to her sometimes and the way they were having conversations with her sometimes. Like, even when she told them like, hey, I want to start dating, they was like, no. And I just feel like she gave them too much room to be in her life. Like, they all had keys to her house. Like, even if you wanted to fuck somebody just to fuck somebody, you couldn't because these dudes were just walking up in your house like they lived there.
The boundaries, there was no boundaries. She was trying to establish She was trying to establish some boundaries, but it was too late at this point.
Well, it was too late because now you want to date and you want to be serious with somebody and have a relationship, but you don't let these niggas come up in your house all willy-nilly. What? I don't know. It was... Yeah. So, yeah. The funny parts that were supposed to be funny didn't mellow out the story, because I think it was some murky shit going on, you know, in the relationship between all of them. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was... Daphne Nicole's new book.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell. She comes up. Well, it was good seeing the Hale sisters again. Joey, Reggie, and I can't remember the next. It was good. Joey, Reggie, Reginald, Joseph, and I can't remember the next name.
It was cute to see them again. The return of the Hale sisters. I thought it was cute. But yeah, I don't know what this story was. I was just like, it didn't feel like, for me, it didn't feel like one of her usual stories. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I don't mind people going outside the box. Go outside the box, but I don't know what that was. And I got questions. So yeah. So it was an interesting reading week, you know. So.
Very, very much so.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I don't think I like these stories that's so heavy on the misogyny, and then trying to wrap it up in like, you know, funny AAVE and all that other stuff. It's like, but you know, I still see that murk under all of that, so I don't know if I like it. You know, but yeah. So that is this episode for us, guys. It was an interesting reading week.
Very much.
And this month is kind of like, we didn't even put, oh my God. Anyway, because that's, so it was a lot of shit I didn't do. But anyway, so this month is pretty much just like a random read month for us. So we're just, you know, there's no theme, particular theme for the month of, what the fuck are we in, August. So, oh my God. Shit, I don't be knowing, child.
The year's already over, child. It's Christmas.
I hate it. Anyway, so this month is just a regular month. We don't have any themes. We're just finding books, and we're just going to read them, and we're just going to talk about them. So it's just, we just random bitches this month. That's all we are. Maybe I'll put that out. Just random bitches month.
Right? I like that. I do.
I kind of like that shit. I can go popping up on shit at the back of my head. Random bitches. Okay. That's up for the month. Anyway, thank y'all so much for listening to our
hanging with us, guys.
Crazy ass stuff. We have some awesome things coming up for the month. Yes. So y'all should definitely
tune in.
You know, we got some interesting things going on this month.
Yay! Chill with us. We'd love to have you.
All right, ma'am. I don't even know what the fuck was that. What was that?
I'm saying chill because we would love to have you. Like, I am being.
If y'all can see my face right now. Thank y'all so much for always listening.
Thank you, guys. For real, though.
Appreciate it. And bye. I'll talk to y'all in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Hey y'all, it's Sharonda at Brazen Babe Reviews. If you're at the end of this episode, we thank you so very much. Be sure you're following us on our social media platforms. We're on Instagram at Brazen Babe Reviews Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Brazenly Shady. Check out the books we read for this episode. The details are in the show notes. And until the next bout of shenanigans, we'll talk to y'all then.